everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the WBAM Entertainment Podcast. I'm your host today, Katie Gilstrap, and with me I have Michelle, the owner of the Ahsoka X Tano account on Instagram.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. We do miss you, Michael and Landon, by the way. They're typically here, but they're not today. So, anyways, today we will be talking about Star Wars women, like important figures and who our favorite characters have been. I kind of got this idea from Amy Richow, and I know I butchered that, so I'm so sorry, Amy, but she really inspired me to get behind this with her 365 Days of Star Wars Women last year and the fact that she's continuing that here. So I just kind of wanted to bring to light like the famous women of Star Wars and those little characters that most people like just attach on in that sort of sense. So.
Yeah, amazing.
We're going to talk about the four main ones, Leia, Padme, Ahsoka, and Rey. And we're going to throw in some commentary from some fans we got on Michelle's account, as well as the WBAM Entertainment account and messages that I got myself. So let's get started.
Yeah.
Leia. She's obviously the princess. Everyone knows her. Like, I don't know. Michelle, like... I totally got lost with what I was trying to say.
That's okay.
So Leia to me, and this is going to be a funny story. So when I first saw the Star Wars movies, I saw episode 5 first, and then I saw episode 2.
What?
And so, so I was really confused. I was like 6 years old, and I was really confused why Luke and Leia were kissing. In episode 2, which, like, I later found out was Anakin and Padme, but that's always been, like, a big thing that's, like, stuck in my head.
So funny. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and when you're so young, you, like, can't necessarily, like, distinguish the characters that well. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. My experience with Leia is, I don't know, I always thought she was cool, but only after I think I became, like, a mega geek of Star Wars things that I really began to appreciate Leia, and more so even like Carrie, and then seeing, like, especially in the new movies, how like Carrie has just put herself into Leia, and then, you know, seeing Leia take on more of a role of like the general, that is where I really started to be like, oh my god, yes, Leia is amazing.
Well, and even I would totally agree with you, like, even going back as far as, like, seeing her just in Forces of Destiny. So even, like, seeing her in Forces of Destiny, just, like, the connection that's being made between the princess that we see in episode 4 and then the leader that we see at the end of episode 6. And then seeing her as the general, like, later on, like, she's such a strong woman, and Carrie totally put herself into that role, which is why I'm super glad that she's being kind of brought back into episode 9 to kind of finish off the role with a bang.
Yeah, I agree.
I wrote a piece that was, like, why she could never be recast, and it's just Carrie Fisher was just such a heart and soul to that. And it's actually quite funny, so... they kind of twisted canon a little bit. Leia's actually a general at the end or close to after the end of episode 6. So it's not she's not just a general in the new movies. She's actually a general after the original trilogy, which I thought was really cool.
Is that in episode 6?
It's not in episode 6. But I'm reading the Legends of Luke Skywalker, okay. And they talk about General Leia Organa in that book. And I'm not sure where that book actually places in the timeline, but it's just a really cool fact, I think, because clearly she's a general at some point between episode 7 and episode 6, so.
Yeah, which means that, like, after Endor, she was promoted to general, but obviously there was the span of time where, like, a rebellion or a resistance didn't need to exist, and then they were like, oh crap, the First Order's coming, like, now we need the rebellion again. And so then she kind of continued to take that role of the general, then I guess that's what that means. That's cool.
If anyone's interested in the more Leia material, I really enjoyed, like, the young Leia book where we got more about Haldo as well as Leia in that book. It's kind of just like a teenager Leia, and we get to see her, like, before she joins the Imperial Senate, is like the trial Senate and everything, and that's where she meets Haldo and stuff. So,
wow, that's cool. I need to read that book.
It was a really great fact, because I didn't really like Haldo's character in episode 8 originally, but once I read that book and I found out more about her, it was a really good eye opening into why she did what she did, kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I love reading these books. They're just so much fun. So I'm full of interesting facts today. So now, Padme, like Leia's mom, obviously. she's had a huge factor on the Star Wars legacy as well, because she's kind of spanned. Two different generations. She spanned the 1990s and then the early 2000s up into 2013, and now she's going to be back again, possibly, with the reopening of the Clone Wars.
Right.
So,
yeah. Yeah. Padme, well, yeah, I mean, you kind of named it. I grew up with the prequels, and Padme was the first female character that I in Star Wars that I was like, oh my god, yes. And I thought she was like such a badass, especially in like especially in episode 2, and that movie. But because I also was a sucker, young Michelle was a sucker for like the romance, as cheesy as it was, and I loved that so much. And so I loved episode 2 also because of Padme just, you know, doing her thing and everything. And so Padme was like the first character that I ever was really like, yes, like, you're amazing. So I just love her. She's a smart politician. She is, you know, knows how to be, you know, really like a good fighter when she needs to be. And I think she has a very kind heart, which obviously, you know, that goes to how she loved Anakin and stuff. So she's great.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Like, episode 2 is still probably one of my more favorite Star Wars movies, just because, like, there's just the whole act 3 that's, like, the big action, but then also just seeing the cheesy romance, and then seeing Padme, like, pull a bobby pin or something out of her hair and, like, break out of the cuffs. That was amazing. Compared to what anyone says, that was amazing. So, and like, she's, like you said, she's a very smart politician. It comes at a time where, like, women were still trying to find themselves, I think. And so it was kind of growing out of the role. You kind of see her transform almost in a sense. I wish in episode 3 we'd have seen a little bit more of her. Apparently in the deleted scenes, we see her get louder and more, what's the word? Like, she's more distinctive in the Senate than she is in what we got in episode 3. And I wish we'd have been able to see those.
Yeah, I totally agree. I remember watching those scenes and being like, dang it, why'd they cut that? Yeah.
They were very much needed. And then her death was heartbreaking. And I was like, I know she had to die. Have to die that way. A lot of her Clone Wars stuff, though, like the animated show, I don't know about you, but, like, some of them I got a sense of, I was like, I was trying to figure out, like, the whole why of those episodes.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know. I
really liked them. I think it goes back to, like, Padme just being, again, like, the politician. And for me, like, I, for whatever reason, I really love the world-building type of thing. So when you step away from, like, the lightsaber action and the slicing battle droids in half, like, the episodes where it would be Padme, you know, going to try and negotiate, like, a peace treaty or something. Like, I always found that very interesting, personally. But, yeah, I mean, like, at the time when I was watching these, like, I did not always understand them at all because I just was, like, not smart enough as a small child to be like, I don't understand. Like, you know, like, I just wouldn't get it. But, yeah, so that's just me, though. I enjoyed a lot of that.
Yeah, and, like, I, going back, I kind of enjoy them now, but in a sense, I also, like, you kind of struggle with, like, sometimes where they're placed, like, in the yeah. season. But one thing I'm really excited for is Queen Shadow with E.K. Johnson. That's coming out at the end of February, and I'm so excited for that book.
I know. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a prequel before The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's how she got the position of queen, I think. And then, but it, I think then it transitions into how she, like, then becomes the senator in, like, episode two. So it probably, there's probably some crossover in with episode one, I think. That's
for gotcha, maybe some flashbacks or right. something that just kind of ties it all in. I could see that happening.
Yeah.
E.K. Johnston, this is a good transition. I'm going to take this. E.K. Johnston wrote Ahsoka,
yes,
which is our next character to talk about. And Ahsoka was kind of the rejuvenation for a lot of Star Wars fans. And I think we're recording this on her the day she was announced as a character, is that correct? Or was it yesterday?
Yesterday. It was yesterday. But you know what? It's okay. She can have a week of celebrating or whatever.
Yeah, everyone gets a birthday week, right?
So hey,
get a birthday yep. week.
Yeah.
So I know she's your favorite character. So I'm going to let you talk about her.
Well, okay. I mean, I will say, I did not like her at first. I was one of those people that was like, God, you're annoying. But she was the first female Jedi, and I know that's something that Ashley Eckstein says all the time, and that's what hooked me, because as much as I loved Padme, I also really loved the Jedi, and that was a key, like, that was a key thing in the prequels is, you know, the Jedi Order and, like, just all of that. So then for the Clone Wars to introduce this female character that's, like, got a lot of spunk and she's sassy and she's got a lightsaber, like, I just fell in love with that. But I only started to love that once the character started to get developed a little bit more, because I was one of those people that thought she was annoying. But she's a kid, and the beauty about a long, you know, a long-term show is that you can develop characters. And so, you know, Evian, what we were just talking about her anniversary, this character's been around for 11 years. That's 11 years worth of developing a character to be who she is in, you know, present day canon or whatever. So I love her. She's a leader. She's smart. She's loyal. She has a lot of heart. And I think she cares about, you know, she probably gets that from Anakin, but she cares a lot about the people she fights with. And I always liked that versus, you know, the more like colder side of like being a Jedi. So yeah, I could go on.
I definitely love the whole snippy side, like, that was the first thing that drew me to her, because I still watch that animated movie that pretty much yes. everyone hates.
I mean, now I love it. Now I'm like, this is comedy gold.
Yeah. And especially just, like, seeing Anakin go back to Tatooine, but, and seeing her figure out his side of his character, like, that was just a really neat character point for her. I feel like, and, oh my gosh, the Clone Wars just developed her so well, and I love seeing her transition from the one lightsaber and the backward hands.
Oh my God.
To the two lightsabers, yeah. And she's still got one backwards lightsaber, even though Anakin's, like, tried to to pull that out of her. Like, I just think that's such a great characteristic that she's like, I'm gonna be stubborn, but like, I'll give you one, but I'm still keeping one. Like,
and sometimes she does do both of them backwards too, so it's like,
yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes it's just a habit, you gotta go back to it, am I right?
And I think the cool thing, you know, on the topic of like character development, and well, she's got two lightsabers and Rebels too, which I think was really special to not only have her like in the Clone Wars for so long, but then Dave Filoni introducing her again in Rebels and her really being this like mentor figure, which I think is awesome. So
yeah, she's a great transition point. She's a great leader for Kanan and Ezra. I'm gonna be honest, I haven't watched a whole lot of Rebels. I watched a couple episodes. College is getting the best of me, man.
Feel you. Oh boy. I'm right there with you.
Eventually I will watch all of them, and then I will understand all of like the Ezra and Kanan and Hera talk I get on Instagram.
Yes.
Twitter, like eventually. Yes.
The Ghost Squad. Yes.
Personally, I was really excited to read the Ahsoka book and see her get those white crystals that she has. Or, yeah, they're crystals. The white crystals she has in Rebels. And just to see her pull in and kind of come back to the Force. Because even though she was trying to leave it, if I'm remembering correctly, she was, like, trying to leave it in the past and just move forward. But then
she
accepted it.
Yeah, which I think is so cool. And honestly, it's one of the most, like, I wish that, or I mean, maybe with the Clone Wars coming up, I don't know, but I, like, would love for this, that moment to be visual. Like, my imagination only goes so far, but where she, like you said, where she kind of purifies the crystals, and then those are what she uses for, like, her lightsabers. Oh, it's just so badass. I can't.
I still loved reading that part of the story, and sometimes I just go back and I just read that part for just like motivation.
And it's on the back of the, it's on the back of the book too, so it's like you can just read that, like, no, or Ahsoka wasn't weaponless, no Jedi ever was, and I'm like, you're a freaking badass. Like, I just get so like hyped about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I would love to see her get a movie or be a part of a movie in a sense, or like just live action Ahsoka somewhere. Like, I don't know. Do you want a live action?
Yeah, I mean, I go back and forth because I think she is so unique in how she has spanned across all the animated content. But at the same time, like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but her story has really been fleshed out so well and so much that I don't know where, like, I don't think she could have her own movie. But if she appeared in a movie, you know, maybe set during, like, I don't know, if somehow we were given, like, a solo sequel and, you know, you get some sort of cameo from, well, you're, you know, if it's, like, it would be a solo, I was talking about this on the live stream, actually, the other day, like, if it's a solo sequel, but then, like, Maul and Kira are in it, like, there's a way maybe they could slip Ahsoka in. The issue is how does, and you know, Lucasfilm announce to the rest of the world that are more casual Star Wars fans about this character that diehards know? So anyway, like, I'm not sure that it would actually happen. I think it would be really cool, though.
I think you could potentially, like, pull her into maybe, like, an Obi-Wan movie, per se. Like, if he reaches out to her or something, and, like, Luke's about to be kidnapped. I think these were plans that were like all thrown around, I think, on our site, for like a potential Obi-Wan spinoff, maybe.
Yeah.
But like just having her come in to like help kind of thing. And then that introduces her really to the wider audience. And it's like, if Obi-Wan's calling on her, then clearly she's very useful.
Right. That'd be cool.
Did you want to talk about Hera a little bit?
The Rebels ladies are awesome too. Hera and Sabine. Hera, I got a few comments about how Hera was really one of the first main, like, main female pilots, which I think is cool because for some people that were heavy fans of, like, or that were big fans of the original trilogy and they loved pilots, then to see Hera, like, and especially see Hera's journey, like, in Rebels, she gets an opportunity to fly a B-wing, which is awesome. And so to see, like, her journey of, like, flying and her ship's the Ghost and everything, I think, so that's really cool. I think Hera being a pilot and this mother figure is something very special. And then Sabine is the Mandalorian, right? And she, not the Mandalorian, like, from the show, I just realized, wait, she's a Mandalorian. And Sabine is one of my favorite characters because she has gone through, honestly, I mean, actually, I love all the Ghost characters. I can't pick my favorite, but she's one of my favorites for the reason that she goes through such a monumental character development as well. And really seeing her connect back to, like, her Mandalorian roots is one of the strongest plot lines of the show, I think. Yeah, I don't want to spoil anything since I do think you should definitely watch it, but she's awesome, and she's sassy and really good with, like, weaponry and bombs, which is but in the, you know, the, like, Rebels way or whatever. So yeah.
Well, and we actually got a little Easter egg where in Rogue One, where they call General Syndulla.
I lost my freaking mind. I was in the theater. It's like the freaking first showing. And I, like, started freaking out. I was like, oh my God, did you just hear that? Like, and everyone around me was like, shut up. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, I missed Chopper, though. I missed Chopper.
I did too.
Time.
And I watched it again and I still couldn't find him.
I know, me too. It was only after I watched the Rogue One for, like, the third time, and then I kept seeing, like, screenshots, and I was like, oh, there he is. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yep. Ugh.
I picked up on the Syndulla reference at the same time when I saw it in the theater. And I went online and I read all these theories, and they're like, no, they're talking about her father. And then it came out later to where they were like, no, they were really talking about Hera. And I was like, yes, in your face, stupidos.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was really bad. Why did I say that?
No, it's good. I do know what the Ghost looks like.
I do. So I watched
so that
the first
was also
season.
In Rogue One, too. And some people caught it in, like, a teaser trailer or whatever, one of the TV spots. And I was like, okay, right. Like, it's not going to be in the movie. But it was then during, like, the battle above Scarif and stuff. Like, it was there a good number of times. So that was really cool, too, to see it in, like, you know, go from, like, the animated ship to, like, the quote-unquote live-action version of it. Oh, my God. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go watch it now because I didn't catch that and I didn't catch Chopper. Now I'm gonna have to go back and watch those. So anything else about this era?
No. In the Rebel era, I think another figure is Mon Mothma. Especially in Rebels, we do get to see her a little bit more, and obviously she's in Rogue One as well. Quite the, you know, leader again, and something that. There's a bit of a plot line that we kind of get to see in Rogue One, but, like, the difference between her and Saw in terms of, you know, how far do you go and everything. It's just interesting. And I think I'm very much someone in real life that it's I do not like violence. I'm not a, like, extremist. I would not be with Saw, basically, is what I'm saying. I would definitely be more along the lines of, like, Mon Mothma, I'm gonna follow you into battle when you think it's right and everything. Like, that would be me. So I think, especially right now, like clearly we saw the danger of Saw's extremism, and, you know, how he was like torturing Bodhi when it turns out that, like, Bodhi was telling the truth and, like, had this information and everything. So Mon Mothma, I think, is very smart and tactical, and but she knows when the time is right to, like, have that fire and have that, like, that, like, spark of rebellion and everything. So, yeah.
I would kind of agree. I have more issues with Mon Mothma's character, and I guess I'll watch when I watch Star Wars Rebels, maybe I'll get a different opinion, but I've always wanted more like development there. So based on what you're saying, I definitely need to watch the show.
Yeah. It appears in the last season, and there's a couple of scenes that I think are really cool to see how her character, like why her character is the way that she is and everything. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cause I know about the dramatic scene, but I have kept myself from watching.
What's that the dramatic scene?
Well, like first the fight with Darth Vader. Like I know she had that fight. Ahsoka and Darth Vader had that fight.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Backtracking a little bit.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched that scene, even though it's all over YouTube, and I'm just like, I'm not gonna watch it. I don't want to be spoiled. I want to be able to be surprised. So I'm really excited to finally be able to sit down and watch it eventually. So let's talk about the new movies, the ones that everyone is interested in at the moment. Where is episode 9 title?
Yeah.
Saying.
While we're chatting and everything, I've been seeing some people on like my feeds or whatever that are like, the Star Wars show came out late, or like the Star Wars show isn't late today because we're recording this on a Wednesday. Like, the title's coming. And I'm like, you fools keep saying that every day.
Everybody keeps saying coming. That.
Yeah. But
eventually, someone will be like, it's going to be out tomorrow, and they will actually be right for once. Oh, just keep saying it, y'all. Just keep saying it. Mm-hmm. And so Rey has gotten a lot of commentary on her character, specifically the whole she's overpowered issue, which I disagree with.
Yeah.
Okay, spill your thoughts, because I'm really interested. Fine.
My thoughts are that there are a number of male characters that are considered overpowered, but they aren't given any flack for it. Like, basically, if Rey was a male character, no one would be saying that she's overpowered. And that's the tea. Because it's the truth. Like, you know, Luke using the Force to blow up the first Death Star. Sorry, where did he learn that? He didn't. So.
Exactly.
And not to mention all of the numerous villains. I don't know. We don't know. We know very little about Sidious and how he gained the powers that he did in, like, the prequels and the Clone Wars and stuff. No one's calling him overpowered. People gave Snoke a little bit of, like, eh. But I haven't seen a lot of, like, how did Snoke, like, bridge Rey and Kylo's mind? Like, you're not, I don't see a lot of that personally, but when it comes to attacking Rey for her abilities, people know how to dish that out, and that's really problematic. So, yeah.
There you have it, folks. Mic drop, we're done. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree. Every time I hear someone say she's overpowered or she's not meant to be, first of all, I should have put this disclaimer out. I do believe she's still a Skywalker. I think that I think Kylo was absolutely lying to her to get like control over her in a sense.
Dang, okay.
I have a whole spiel on it on the blog. I'll send you that link later.
Absolutely.
Because I totally think she's a Skywalker. Like, I think it also makes sense that she has that much power then, because, I mean, clearly we see Anakin in The Phantom Menace, and he can pilot a pod racer, like, and he's 11 years old, and he knows how to do that. Like you said, Luke, how does he know how to do all this stuff? He doesn't. So I think it's kind of just a trend, and so it lends that explanation, but also we don't need that explanation. We didn't get an explanation for Anakin or Luke. So she's not overpowered. She's the star of the show.
Yeah. Basically. And the other thing that I think is interesting is when people overlook her background. Like, we didn't, like, it doesn't, I don't know, it's not slapping you in the face. Well, actually, it kind of is, okay? The entire, like, first part of The Force Awakens is establishing that Rey is a scavenger on Jakku. I didn't say that right. Jakku, whatever. And like, the whole time it's showing how she has lived this very, like, rough lifestyle where she's fighting to survive and has to take care of herself and everything. And so she knows how to fight, which it blows my mind that people are like, how could she wield a lightsaber? Like, that's not how everybody talks. This is my voice of everybody sounds like this. The, how could she know how to fight? And I'm like, you people, she literally wields a staff. Like, anyway, I could go off, but that's one thing that always interests me. And then to your point on explanations for things. And so I don't think that she is a Skywalker. I think she is just who she is. And I think the movies did a really, particularly The Last Jedi, did a really good job of solidifying that anyone can have the Force and some people just have it like more than other people, you know, like the people that are Force sensitive versus the people that aren't. And so I think Rey is just one of those people that had a connection to the Force and it was awakened. And like that's enough, I think. You know, she's connected to the Force. She has abilities. Like, cool. Like, I think the new movies are trying to move away from what we've always known about the Force, but not changing it, really, because the Force is still the Force. Like, because, mm-hmm. you know, there was that whole scene with Luke talking to Rey about what it is and everything, and that's not any different than what we knew from, you know, Yoda, what Yoda told Luke and everything. So that's just my thoughts.
Right, no. And, like, I can see her not being a Skywalker. Like, it doesn't all have to be connected, and I will be okay if she's not a Skywalker in the end. I promise. But just I think she's been a really interesting take, because to see kind of a shift in the focus for these movies, like, we got a lot of male characters in the past, and typically we've only had one female, especially seeing Rey become the star, kind of like the more powered one, and seeing her be able to pilot all these things, like, it was just so fun. And like, especially in The Force Awakens, where she pilots the Millennium Falcon through the crash that not Death Star it's not a Death Star, it's a Star Destroyer.
That
was awesome. Like, I've always loved seeing those piloting scenes. I kind of wish The Last Jedi had been more connected, in a sense, to where we could have gotten more Rey with the rest of the Resistance. Like, I think that would have been...
It happened in 9, though.
Yeah. What did you... Okay, I kind of... This is kind of off topic, but I kind of want to know what you thought about Leia flying.
So initially I was shook. I was like, bruh, like, I was really confused by it. But I don't know. I've really tried to look at these movies with an open mind, and kind of like what I was saying earlier with like these movies moving away from what we think we know about the Force. And I think that the Force is something that we don't understand, right? So if in that moment it really gave itself to Leia so that she could... Like, who's to say that it wasn't Leia using the Force, but instead the Force being the thing or the entity or whatever to, you know, like, just kind of propel Leia back to the ship, like, you know, rather than her being the one to do it? I don't know. I think it was a very shocking scene overall, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's my thoughts.
Okay, that works for me. Yeah. Okay. Personally, like, especially coming from a Legends background and just like seeing, because Leia's a full-fledged Jedi in those books, like, just seeing her use the Force, I was like, yes. And so many people have questioned, like, the Force can't pull people through space. Like, it's never been able to do that. Well, they are moving kind of in a different direction, like, to kind of just, it doesn't all have to be explained.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so I think that's something that fans are going to have to come to terms with, that a lot of these things, like, you're going to have to do just a little more research to get into it, or like you're just going to have to accept that it can't be explained in a movie.
But I think that the other thing is we've always gotten that. We have always had to, like, even before The Last Jedi, there were still these situations where there were things that weren't explained. So for whatever reason, now people are choosing to be like, Snoke didn't get a backstory. Where? Well, neither did Sidious before the Clone Wars. And even in the Clone Wars, we don't get to know that much about him, right? Or, I don't know,
right.
I forget about the original three movies. We know next to nothing about Palpatine. Literally next to nothing. And nobody complained about exactly. that. So I agree. I think there are going to be some things that can't be explained or that just simply don't need explaining. Leia was able to use the Force to save herself, or the Force saved Leia, whatever way you want to look at it. And she, you know, arrived back on the ship to save the day. So, yeah.
So we kind of talked about Haldo earlier. Haldo was one of those other controversial characters in the movie where everyone was like, why did she do this? Like, why is she the way that she is? And I really got to know more of her character, like I said, in the Journey to the Force Awakens, like the Young Leia book. This is another thing. I want to know what you thought. And like, yeah.
I think she's great. I'm over the women hating in The Last Jedi. I'm over it. And
everyone, yeah.
She's an honorable, like, clearly she's an honorable, like, general or commander in battle. And she did a very noble thing, like, shooting, you know, freaking going to hyperdrive right through that other ship. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she's, I love that moment when she quotes Leia and Poe, like, says this, like, they both know what Leia-ism or whatever that she's talking about. And yeah, I really want to read this book that you're talking about, because then I'm sure it really much goes into Haldo's relationship with Leia, which I think is really special. It sounds like it's special. I mean, we already kind of saw that in The Last Jedi. But yeah, Haldo's great. She's got great hair. And that's the tea.
Her hair is amazing. Yeah. The pink was... Yeah. I was a little shocked by it at first, but then, like I said, like, it just kind of grew on me. But I would kind of agree with you and kind of not. Like, I do think, to a sense, she should have told Poe about the plan. But ultimately, like, she made the best decision for the Resistance to try and get everyone out alive. And yeah. She was great. And Laura Dern,
yes,
she's amazing.
Yeah.
I love her. Like, I wish we could see more of her, but obviously I don't think we can. So.
Yeah.
Does
that lead us to Rose?
Yes, we have to talk about Rose, especially I know the hate Kelly Marie Tran got on her Instagram and she got off of it, but I didn't really have that much issue with the character, and she brings the greatest theme of Star Wars to me, that you don't win by lose, or I can't
remember. I know what you're, like, trying to say. Just yes.
You win by saving what you love. Mm-hmm. I know that part of it.
Yes. Let me find it, because I literally had that. I said that quote to somebody the other day because we were talking about something, and oh my gosh, yeah, it's. Rose is amazing, I think, and I think Kelly put so much of herself in the character, and just like any of these other actors did with their characters, so the hate that she got is appalling, and I don't think, there's been a lot of discourse of, like, oh, like, Kelly is not Rose, like, people need to learn how to understand, how to, you know, separate that. But at the same time, like, I don't know if you've been seeing some stuff about Ahmed Best, the actor that played Jar Jar, kind of coming forward about all of his experience, and there's some of the terrible things that he went through following the prequels. And the thing is, if you're hating on Rose and being sexist and racist and all these things, like, you are hurting the person that put their performance into this character and have made this character who they are. And so to be like, I don't know, and you're criticizing the person's work. And like, so anyway, Rose's quote that we love is, "That's how we're going to win, not fighting what we hate, but saving what we love." And I am all for that 100%. I think it's love and hope and redemption and second chances, and all these things are so essential Star Wars things. So I think Rose is amazing. And I think the Canto Bight stuff, which I think probably also had a little bit more of conversation around, if that's what you want to call it, very valuable in my opinion. It, you know, it's like war is not black and white. And do you remember the Clone Wars episode called A Hero on Both Sides? So actually, it's the first episode. I'm such a nerd. Okay, it's the first episode where Ahsoka debuts her like updated outfit and where she gets her second lightsaber. Anyway, the point is,
I think so. I know of the episode you're talking about.
Yeah.
Why don't you remind us?
I've watched it so many times, but the point is that episode is about teaching Ahsoka that war is not black and white. And here she's meeting the separatist kid, Lux Bonteri,
yes,
who people absolutely hate, but I don't think is terrible. Tangent. The point is, she realizes that war is back and forth all the time, and that there are people on the, quote, bad side that are not bad. And the whole thing that Rose and Finn go through with DJ, and realizing that at the casino that there are these weapons dealers that are supplying ships and weapons to both the Republic or the Resistance and the First Order. Like, I don't know. I just think that's such a real thing. It's something that happens in our lives. And to, you know, ignore that and have Star Wars really be such a black and white thing just isn't, it just doesn't have the same impact, I think. So that was my really long tangent about Rose and Canto Bight and all of that.
No, and I think that goes back to Ahsoka bringing in the white lightsabers and that not everything's black and white. Like, sometimes, or in, I guess in the lightsaber's case, blue/green or red. Right. Like, everything's, like, sometimes you just have to meet in the middle and not everything's black and white, he said. So I think it's kind of been a theme that they've tried to push across all spans of the current material. And so
especially with Rey's arc as well, and not being, you know, not falling to the dark side, but going to the dark side when it's there and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you said you liked the Canto Bight stuff. They have some other really neat, like, anthologies. There's a specific Canto Bight one, but then they brought in the planet Cantonica in on a lot of different books. So they're tying it in on, they're tying everything in is what I'm trying to say. So,
yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I don't know, is there any other character? I'm trying to think. I know we have comments from people and I'll talk about them.
Wanna touch on some of the legends people?
So the two that I love specifically are Mara Jade and Jaina Solo. Mara Jade is Luke Skywalker's wife, but that's not why I love her. She's very blunt and she's very much a leader and she gets what she wants. She in the Legends books, at the time when Luke is trying to rebuild the Jedi Order, she's about the only one in the galaxy that has close to his level of training. And so they just kind of bond over that, and she calls him farm boy and stuff. It's really cute.
She's the Emperor's hand at first, right?
Yeah. So she trains under Palpatine and is his assassin. Technically, she was at Jabba the Hutt's palace in episode 6, according to Legends canon. This doesn't exist anymore. But it's just kind of neat seeing her character, and seeing her become a mom, and you see her character develop so much over the Legends books, and she's just such a badass. I'm going to say it. Mama, you can yell at me later.
I was sweating up a storm on this thing already. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. No, you're fine. No, I just love her character, and it's rumored that they're gonna try and like bring the essence of her character back, and that's what the theories are behind Carrie Russell's role in episode 9. Is that she's going to be playing a version of Mara Jade, and that's just kind of what I want. Her character is just so needed as just a blunt, like, in-your-face character that is just, like, the voice of reason, and you're Jiminy Cricket, and it's like, no, we can't do that, and this is why, and doesn't beat around the bush. That's just in a nutshell why Mara Jade is personally my favorite Star Wars character. A comment we got from, I'm going to say the name, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Rebel Fell on Twitter. She loves Jaina Solo. And Jaina's one of those pilots in, she's a pilot in Legends. She's the child of Leia and Han. And she's twins with Jason, who we won't talk about him because he's she flew with Rogue Squadron. She was a great Jedi Knight. Luke had a prophecy about her where she was the sword of the Jedi and that she would defend anyone that she came in contact with who needed her help, and everyone would stand in her shadow as she defended them. I'm trying to hit all the points. She's very persistent. And this person on Twitter said that her personality is what pushed her to get a PhD. And the Young Jedi.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So Star Wars has impacted people across lots of generations, and like every character speaks somewhat differently, which is really, really cool.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
She says the Young Jedi Knights and the New Jedi Order series, Harry Potter, and that these books also helped her learn English because she's not from an English-speaking country.
What an amazing story. I just want to say, wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so I was really excited to get that comment because Jaina is another one of my characters that I love from the Legends, and so I'm really glad that she was able to impact your life, Rebel Fell. She's been a big impact on mine, and I had the sword, or they were originally going to do a Sword of the Jedi book before Disney bought Star Wars and the book was canceled, but I have the concept art for that book, or at least like one of the fan images, in a sense. It's the cover on my phone, and it's been the cover on my phone for 2 years because it's just, I love that one so much.
Amazing.
And the cover, because I like this, it says, "Life is tough, my darling." It's one of the quotes from one of the books. And it's just like, it's just such a great reminder to stay persistent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We got some other comments. Michelle, did you want to say?
I, kind of going back a little ways, just some generations, I got an awesome comment about Ahsoka. From one of my followers on Instagram. I'm going to say the name wrong. It's like Iridium Owl. And they say that Ahsoka Tano is the female Star Wars character that has impacted me the most. She is kind, caring, understanding, yet tough. The more I watch her, the kinder and more understanding I become. I lie less and less now. I now own my mistakes instead of blaming them on someone else. I am more caring and tougher against those who live to bring me down. I hope as time goes on that little fraction of Ahsoka Tano inside me grows so that I may become a better person every day. And I was like, same, because Ahsoka has absolutely made me the person that I am. And I think that's what's cool about all these women is there may not be a lot of them, but they are so multidimensional and so very real and relatable that, you know, these characters can help us with our own lives, which I think is so special.
Yeah, they can just provide motivation, and sometimes you could just pull quotes or like scenes from TV shows where it's just like, that's your motivation. And sometimes you just go back and you look at it and you're like, okay, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. Such a great thing.
I have, on like my wall or whatever, I have a sticky note essentially, that says, it's the fortune cookie for the final episode of season 5 of the Clone Wars. Never give up hope, no matter how dark things seem. And I feel like that's a very Ahsoka-ism or whatever, but it's very real. So I agree.
Since we're saying that, I wanted to find a quote that I love, from Mara.
Yeah.
You can't hear a whisper if you're constantly shouting.
Yeah. Truth bomb right there. Oof.
Yeah, because I'm just constantly overthinking stuff, and so sometimes you just have to take a break. You need to calm down, and you just need to listen for the right thing.
Reminder for a lot of the first thing that I thought of when you read that was how often, like, you know, people are sounding off at each other in comment sections and like internet discourse nowadays, not even only within the Star Wars fandom, but also everywhere in our world that we live in. You know, if you're too busy yelling and screaming and unwilling to be open to other like positions, then you're not going to get anywhere. So if you whisper, or you can, you know, take a step back and like listen rather than just talk, then you can learn a lot of things and change and make change. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Okay. I'm sorry. I really want to find this.
Well, while you're finding the quote, let me read some more responses from some folks. I got a couple of comments from some people about Hera. We mentioned Hera earlier, being the pilot in Rebels. So Sunny Y says, the Star Wars female that impacted me the most was probably Hera Syndulla. She's so bold and intelligent and loving to the rest of the Ghost crew. And I totally agree with that. So another reason for you to go watch the show. And then the next one from Josh Ashley says, about Hera, there weren't enough female pilots until her, and she's the first canon female main character elite pilot. The sequence of her blade wing test flight made her an instant favorite for me. So the blade wing in Rebels is the prototype of the B-wing that we know. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Did you
quote yet? Oh, I'm not even gonna find it. It's bugging the crap out of me. Okay, I'm gonna give up. I'll find it eventually, and I'll tweet it out as a caption with this podcast. Yes. Okay. Going back to, did you have any more comments, first of all?
That was pretty much what I got, yeah.
Okay. I did want to mention one from Old Haircut on Twitter. I didn't know.
Great name.
Yeah, that's their username. Sorry if you wanted to be called something else, guy, girl. They love Pash Devane, I think I'm saying that right, from Star Wars Annual #2. They said her take on the galaxy at large was a refreshing look at expanding the new canon universe, and they loved watching her go toe-to-toe with Leia, and they wish there was more stories about her. I'm glad you wish there were more about her. I'm going to go look her up.
I know. Oh my gosh. You know what the issue is that I've been trying to read the Star Wars comics, but then I like inevitably fall behind because like there's books I want to read and like the comics are so long and like, oh my gosh, but I definitely want to look into her. I wonder if I'm looking really quickly. Okay. No, I don't recognize her picture. So. I actually see her pictured next to Dr. Aphra, so maybe she... Okay. Anyway, I don't know. Okay, we'll figure it out, and we will educate ourselves on who Pash is.
Yes, we will. Another comment I got was about Larma Daisy, I want to say. I'm totally, like, wrecking everyone's names. It's from A. Dylan Dev on Twitter. And she said that Larma wasn't there to be the mythological Leia or the surprising Haldo. She just was there normalizing women in leadership, specifically older women. And so this is another thing, is that with all of the newer female characters, like a lot of the ones we've seen have been established characters, or like they're younger characters like Rose or Rey. But to see her be there, I think that speaks to a lot of people who've been in Star Wars for a while, to see themselves kind of on screen, I guess, is what people are looking for, is someone they can look at and say, okay, that could be me.
Absolutely.
She said the casual use of gallant in her description in Women of the Galaxy also normalizes that specific brand of bravery for women. Both are things that I've wanted to be seen as, and here in Daisy, it was treated like the most normal thing in the world. I can totally see that, because she's standing up to Poe in The Last Jedi, and she's just there, and she's like trying to guide everyone in the right direction. I can totally see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Del Dev, that's the name she has besides her username. So thank you for sending that in, everyone especially.
Mm-hmm.
I have one more. It's from Southern Cynic on Twitter. And it is about Admiral Rey Sloan, who is a character in the Aftermath trilogy, which happens after...
I want to read them so bad.
Oh my gosh, like, I love her character. I'm halfway through the second book. I love her character, but oh my gosh, like, those books. Oh... I don't like them. Yeah.
That's what I heard. When I was asking a few friends, like, I think I'm gonna get a Star Wars book, like, which one should I get? They were like telling me, like, don't start the Aftermath stuff. And maybe if the writing's a little slow to get through, that's okay. It's gonna be worth it, because I've heard so many good things about this character. And I'm just like, gosh, I wish I knew what you were talking about. So, yeah.
I would definitely say, like, if you want one, look into like Bloodlines, and then definitely like the journey to the Force Awakens stuff, the Leia book especially, and the Luke Skywalker one. I'm in the middle of the Luke Skywalker one. I'm in the middle of so many books right now.
I did read Bloodline, a fantastic. I really want to read it again, actually, because I think there's a lot of it that like I like forgot about or whatever. Yeah, absolutely want to read that one again.
Yeah, and especially after seeing The Last Jedi, I think It'll trace back and I'll link up, which I like. But anyways, back to Rey Sloan.
Yes.
She said that Rey means so much to me. I believe the first time I saw her was with the official art for Aftermath, and I immediately had to know who she was. Mm-hmm. A Black Imperial, a Grand Admiral at that, just like Thrawn.
Yes.
I immediately identified with her and her struggles with being recognized for her ideas and the struggles that come with being underestimated.
Yeah.
She is strong, cunning, and has an inner drive to excel that I wish I could bottle up for myself. She deserves way more recognition, and it is coming slowly. I can't wait for her to come live on the screen someday. I have faith that it will occur. Representation matters to me, and I would be thrilled to see other young Black women coming into this fandom, learn about her, and see her live, large, and in charge. I completely agree with
yes, this. Just so much yes. Oh my god, yes.
When I got that, I was so excited to share that. Like, I do love her character in the book, and she's like one of the highlights of the series, I think. And she's mentioned in a couple other things.
She's in a comic, actually. She was in the Kanan comics. That's the only place I actually, like, I guess, quote, read her or whatever. Yeah.
I'm looking up what she's in, that way I can tell people correctly.
I love she's that in... comment so much. Oh.
Yeah, I've had... okay, so this is another thing. I've never read the comics. I have a lot of time. But I will get to them eventually.
It's a daily struggle.
So she's in A New Dawn, which is also another book. It was the first...
Yes! Sorry, I got really excited. I'm almost going to start reading that. I'm reading Tarkin first, and then I'm going to get to that one, so...
Oh, I love Tarkin!
Yes,
okay,
it's great.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
So she's in all of the Aftermath books. And then she is mentioned in Phasma. I don't remember reading about her in Phasma. Now I'm gonna have to go back and reread.
Wait, that's everything. These badass Imperial women are okay, or I guess First Order slash Imperial. Okay, I need Phasma. There are so many books that I need. Oh my gosh, this is such a problem. Okay.
Oh my gosh, I love Phasma. Phasma is one that you could pick up too. I love reading about her, and it's such a great backstory to Phasma. She's also another woman. Oh my gosh. tongue tied. She's in the new movies, but she's not utilized as much as I'd like to see her, especially after reading Phasma. Delilah Dawson, who wrote the book, oh my gosh, she's really great. Like, that movie just brings Phasma to life, and it's just something that I wish we'd been able to see in those movies.
Yeah. I know there's some Phasma comics as well. I haven't gotten around to reading those. But yeah, Phasma is great. Yeah, I think that's something that, oh, and on the topic of like baddie Imperial women, Iden Versio, another,
yes,
on the topic of representation, I saw some really cool things around when Iden was announced as like the main character for Battlefront 2 and the book. If you've read Inferno Squad, a fantastic book, probably one of my favorites out of all the canon books. these women of color are so important and are badass and all these wonderful things. And I think I can't wait to see more of them in all the mediums.
Well, and on that topic, there is going to be a new trilogy. The first book is coming out this summer. And the star of the book, yes, her name is Erica Quell. Yes. I think I said that right.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes. Representation right there. I'm excited to see this one because going back to Legends, this reminds me a lot of Wraith Squadron, where it was kind of a special ops team. And so I'm really excited to see if they pull some elements from those books. But the publisher summary, it looks amazing, and the cover is great as well. So I'm excited to read that book and get my hands on it. So
stunning. Yeah. That's great. It's like all really exciting things coming up.
Yes. All right. Did we have anything else to talk about? I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think we got most of what was on our list.
Yeah. I've got a thing with lists.
Me too. Me too.
I just want to say thanks again for joining me. I know I've been trying to get you on here a lot. So
persistent and hounding me down. And this was fun. And I appreciate you reaching out because I don't normally get to do these types of things. So it's very exciting for me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to involve other people, and especially being the only girl on the website. Like, it's just kind of lonely sometimes, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're doing a great job. I can't wait to check out, you're mentioning some of these articles and stuff that you've written. Girl, I'm going to come read them all, so.
I will send you all the links.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you can find Michelle on, I'm going to let you say the username. So
yes, absolutely. You can find me on Instagram at Ahsoka X Tano. That is my only handle currently, and not on any other social medias at the moment. But if I do, branch out to anything else, that's where you can find me. So,
yes. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KGelstrap13. And you can find all your favorite Star Wars coverage at wabamentertainment.com. I just want to say once again, thanks to Amy for inspiring me for this podcast. Thanks for writing Women of the Galaxy and doing 365 days of Star Wars Women and continuing it. I love reading your posts. So just thanks for doing it. Fangirl moment, sorry. Thanks everybody for listening. Sorry I'm so scatterbrained. Michelle, thanks again for joining me. And I hope everyone have a great day, night, or afternoon, whatever time of day you're listening.
You've been listening to the WABAM Entertainment Podcast. For more from WABAM Entertainment, visit us on the web at wabamentertainment.com. You can let us know what you thought of this episode on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WABAMENT. Thanks for listening. We'll see y'all next time.